Thank you, Terry and Kathy, for your presentations. I will try to explain myself from this ambiguous title. Maps in Coaching. What is my client map today? What is my coaching map or my map as a person today? What is the coaching map today? Trying to reflect three different elements, probably three different territories that are influencing our activity as coaches. Please let me read a small paragraph, well, two small paragraphs, just to put something on the ground about what I mean with maps. This is easy to find in the Wikipedia. The map territory relation describes the relationship between an object and a representative object, as in the relation between a geographical territory and a map of it. Polish-American scientist and philosopher Alfred Korsivsky remarked that the map is not the territory. This is a sentence we may all have heard so many times. And that the world is not the thing. Encapsulating his view that an abstraction derived from something or a reaction to it is not the thing itself. Korsivsky held that many people do confuse maps with territories. That is, confuse models of reality with reality itself. When I mirror, as a coach, my clients' words, I give them the opportunity to connect, to adapt, to improve their map, and make it more accurate to the territory. The client in a coaching conversation is giving us the map of herself, and our actions, our coaching actions, try to detail what may be her territory. So we as coaches make it the map of our client through active listening. However, when we mirror the map, the client has the opportunity to understand, to sense, and to see parts of her own territory, at least for the issue at work. When we mirror clients' language, we become cartographers. Cartographers of just what the client is recognizing as her own territory. I like this metaphor of cartographers. When we provide powerful questions, however, the client's map extends to not yet recognized territory, what I call the pre-conscious territory. And yet, with this new territory, the possibilities may arise for the client, new ways to their desired results. In the same vein, our map as coaches is not yet our territory in a coaching relationship. Our territory as coaches has only the limits of our own ethics and our own coaching code of ethics and the limits of the coaching competencies. This could go far beyond our client's territory or may get narrower and shorter than our client's territory, at least for the issue at work. So what is the limit for us? My answer is the coaching map. When I say the coaching map, I'm referring to something different from my coaching map. And I will consider as the coaching map the ICF coaching map, whose limits are reflected in the code of ethics and the coaching competencies. But now, since our duty is to push our clients out of the box, that is, out of their map, while remaining into their territory, the range of possibilities of ourselves, what can we do? That is the main question I put on the table for all of us to share. I must confess that when Kathy and Terry asked me for the title, I didn't really know what was going to come. I really don't know what motivated me to make this simple distinction. So I'm eagerly asking you to help me solve or to help me gain more clarity around this. The question for me arrived with the what I consider the new map of coaching that ICF is providing with the new PCC markers. I don't want to get into details about the markers, but to give you an example of what is causing my loving uncertainty around the topic is that ICF PCC markers are stating things like coach shares observations, intuitions, comments, thoughts and feelings to serve the client's learning or forward movement. Coach shares observations, intuitions, comments, thoughts and feelings without any attachment to them being right. Now my question is, can I give observations, thoughts to my client without using not my coaching map, which I expect every coach should use in a coaching relationship, but without using my map, my personal map? If the answer is no, you can't, you cannot, then what is the use of sharing my map with a client? And even more, given that all of us have been trained in one of the most, I would say, excellent and pure visions of coaching, given that we have been trained as coaches who can partner with the clients and create an environment in which they get their own responses, their own solutions, what is the role of sharing my map? Even more, one more minute. How could we teach the spirit or transmit the spirit of sankoching? And at the same time, complying with this, for me, new map of coaching. Please, mics on.
Hello, Guangzhou.
Hello.
This is Edgar. How are you? Nice to see you again. Right,
thank you.
All of you. Well, if I can use like a kind of metaphor, I can say that using the maps, you are Spanish and I am Colombian. Let's imagine that we are working together and you are using your map and I'm using mine. But regardless of your Spanish or you're the Spain map and I am the Colombian map, there is something that we share together, which is that we belong to a bigger one, which is the earth. And at the end, we both are connected. So I think that the beautiful thing of coaching is that if we are able to get deep, to get this deep connection with the client. So when we get to that point, to share my map is at the same time to share yours and vice versa. So I think it's useful to share it when we realize that we are all connected. It's my point of view.
Thank you, Edgar. Yeah, that brings a broader perspective. At the same time, what I understand that is now promoted to be used in any coaching conversation is the sharing of my map about my client, not the sharing of my map about my life. Okay? And for me, this brings some kind of difficulty. As coaches, we are just mirroring the client's map in order for the client to have a wider view. Okay? If I make observations which are based on client's behavior, I am just selectively mirroring something that I have observed. However, when I share a thought, when I share an opinion, when I share, what is the literal thing, a comment, not an observation or an emotion, but when I share a comment or a thought, I need to use my map, my mental map, okay, and my set of beliefs. I wonder whether this expands my client map or simply provide confusion for my client to perceive her territory. And this is just a question. I know many of you have sure some solutions to it. However, I am trying to express my my lack of ability to coherently extend my coaching map and make it compatible, in essence, with my client's process, my client's map, and the ICS map of coaching.
Alfonso, it's Charlotte. I have an NLP background, as you know, and one of the first precepts that I learned is to leave my map out of it entirely. And I buy that to this day. I think that the inclusion of paraphrasing is exactly what you're talking about, and I have never thought that that was a good idea because it intrudes on the client's vocabulary and map.
So I think
that paraphrasing and speaking from one's own map as a person and as a coach comes out of the psychological community, where it was taught, is taught, and not out of the coaching community, which rests on questions. I'm on your page. I have been from the beginning. I have always questioned what I consider an intrusion. If you're sitting with someone and you make a comment about gestures, for instance, that the person is making, it makes them self-conscious immediately. I was taught rather to use the information that I glean to ask the question that then they discover their own territory. And they can go where I can never go. In my imagination, I would never think of what they think of as their own solutions.
Can I offer a perspective, a different perspective? Because what goes into my mind is when Terry and Sharon did the discussion of Uber coaching. They did that demonstration of Uber coaching at the Sun. And I have felt intuition and words come into my brain when I'm with a client that I have asked if I can share, and they have true meaning for the client. And so, in fact, even though they're coming through me, through sort of some Uber connection, Uber brain connection, it's still the client's map. And I think the key phrase, too, is without attachment. It has nothing to do with me. This word or this thought came into my mind. Can I share it with you? If it lands, fine. And if it doesn't, fine. But I can see where that has benefited some of my clients from just something coming out of me. And I don't know where it comes from, but I feel it and the need to ask them to share it. Does that make sense?
Yes, Scott. Thank you very much. Nice to hear you again. I agree that with the part that allows the coach sharing intuitions. Intuitions are those things that happen in our mind without being processed, mentally or rationally processed. When they are rationally processed, they become thoughts. They become beliefs. They become opinions. Okay? So for me, I think I'm clear in that. If it's an intuition, I can share it because it's part of the experience. It's data. It's not opinion. It's not rational thought. Okay? So it's just a fact. is not a representation of the territory, it's data from my territory. The question for me is, where is the subtle limit between sharing an intuition or sharing an emotion? I can say I can share with my client, what I'm hearing is causing me such and such, because I'm the owner of the emotion. And what I'm sharing is data with no discussion. And it's the kind of primitive data, not processed by me. I don't know what is the meaning of this emotion that I'm having now when I listen to you. So far, I have been trained to do so, and it's okay. I find myself comfortable sharing an intuition, sharing an emotion. A different thing is, for me, sharing a thought, sharing a comment. Okay. Because what I said, I think I cannot do it without putting my mental map of the client situation. And if it is difficult for the client to go up and down from the map to her own territory, and I put another map there, which is made with different codes, different criteria. How can I be motivated in terms of, if I share my map, it would be good for my client? That's my existential question. Sharon, thank you.
I'm thanking you for entering this space of loving uncertainty. It is sparking so much within me, because my journey has been to integrate coaching into a clinical environment. So I have spent the last 2 years dancing with this. When am I doing coaching with people who are expecting clinical ways of communicating? And the whole dance of integrating doing one versus the other. So I've had to learn to discern. So I think Charlotte's comment, and I'm getting this whole idea of, when I had a thought, an opinion, or a comment, there's a different quality of my use of words than when I'm letting things flow and creating a space for them. And I think Scott's right. There is this space of uber consciousness that connects us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't have an answer, but I think Charlotte's articulation, that paraphrasing and speaking from personal experience, really is a psychological way of being in connection and communication. And there's something else that's bubbling here, because when I got my own assessment at the Sun Retreat, I have a lot of introverted qualities. And all of those new criteria, there's a lot of judging the words. So I kind of created this whole dialogue in my mind about, how do you, as an outsider, observe the inner process? It's so... there's other things. I don't know the PCC criteria, but I know what the ACC criteria. I had some challenges with the essence of coaching and what is it about. So there is something here. And, you know, is there room for other criteria? You know, you're right. And I think the essence of what Terry has given form to and expression to in Sun is bigger. And I don't know the PCC criteria, but I can tell you it's probably bigger than them. And the way that I have been taught to show up in that coaching I've learned to discern, you know, how, what are my intentions in this space right now. So anyway, thank you for opening this and holding the space for this.
Thank you to you.
Alfonso, it's Leanne. Yes.
Hello, Leanne.
Nice Hello. To nice to see you too. I have a graphic model, which I'm trying to, I'm trying to figure out. How do I guess I can't draw on my, bummer, on my.
You can share your screen.
I know, but.
You can also use the whiteboard. If you click under, let's see. There's a place where you could actually, click under share screen. When you click on the share screen, it'll give you the ability to have a whiteboard, and you can draw on that.
I wish that were the case on the phone, but it's not. No, I don't think so. Sorry.
Oh, well.
Okay. I'm going to have to describe it. So I'm thinking about like a Venn diagram, but a little bit more complicated one, where you've got the client's map, the coaching map, and the coach's map. And so these are three interlocking circles, except the coaching map is actually three concentric circles as well. I'll have to draw it and see. Let me get a piece of paper and I can hold it up. Because in the coaching map, you have ACC, PCC, and MCC coaching, right? So you've got ACC, PCC, MCC. Ideally, our map is big enough to cover MCC coaching, although that may take some time. And it's our job, let's see, it's good.
That's going to be hard.
No? Is it too small?
Unless we just select your image to see. Yeah.
It's okay. So as coaches, our map is bigger than the coaching map, but when we're in a coaching relationship, we're operating through that coaching map. And it's our job, when we start with a client, the intersection of the client's map and the coaching map may be very small. But it's our job as coaches to make those maps overlap more. So if a client starts going to the negative, it's our job to draw them towards the vision and the positive, that kind of thing. And this question about comments, I had a client this morning who said to me, my last coach said to me, actually advised me, to not share so much with my supervisor. And of course, I didn't say to them, that's not coaching, much as I wanted to. But it's exactly the thing you're talking about, that there are coaches who feel that kind of comment is coaching. And for me, that's the ACC coaching map. And that's where they're coaching from. The PCC map, hopefully you don't get as blatant advice. And in the MCC coaching map, you get none.
And how do you relate advice with this act of sharing thoughts?
I think it's the same thing. That it's, I am laying on a comment that is in my map as a human being, but does not overlap within the coaching map.
Right. Because I think I'm very much with you, and this is the struggle. I I am clear about what my coaching lab, what we have learned, thankfully, what consists on, and what is the, for instance, the competency of managing progress and responsibility, what is demanded from us, okay, or from the presence competency. So my coaching map allows me to be aware of the energy of my client and mirror it or share an observation about the energy without judging, without processing it. This is the question for me. How can we be in the flow and at the same time keep something far from what the coaching map is, which is our thoughts, in order to motivate a sharing of our thoughts? You know, I think we are on the same line.
Yes.
However, if this is suggested by ICF, I assume that it can bring new opportunities for the highest quality of coaching as well.
So my question is that PCC or MCC coaching?
Well, when I read that, Terry may have a wider view about this, and I'm really waiting for her comments around if that's an MCC or should an MCC share thoughts, comments, because this is where I have my own doubts. What is the rationale that complements this fact of providing comments and thoughts with the excellence of coaching, which is based on the fact that the client has all the answers? But I'd like to hear something around the benefits of sharing comments and sharing thoughts.
Alfonso, I'm back again. When there was a psychologist many years ago connected with parent training, his name was Chaim Gnat, and he called this preaching and teaching. When the parent gave an opinion, I think the word judge came up a minute ago, and that's what it sounds like to me, which comes out of my personal map and is not out of the client's map. It may be that our maps intersect. That would be lovely. But I'm also reminded, it may be apocryphal that it was Winston Churchill who said it, but that's how I heard it, that people hate to be taught, but they love to learn. And I think that that's what a coach is. It is someone who sponsors the client's learning, not teaching. Thanks.
Okay, yes. For me, it's a challenge to comply with even a PCC marker of sharing comments and thoughts and keeping on the egalitarian relationship that we assumed from the beginning when we established the original agreement with our client. And when we signed the ICF Code of Ethics, we are assuming that the client has all the answers and the coach just wants to reveal, is helping to reveal them. But I would like to hear about some of your experiences of limit cases in which you may have had this possibility of providing a comment or a thought and having the impression that you were still in your coaching match.
May I add one thing before that?
Please.
The intersecting of circles happens before we even coach someone. The attraction to something happens and brings the two maps into the same space. And I believe that is bigger than the head. I believe that's the heart. The heart has the energy that pulls us together. And that's how our clients find us, through something that comes from the heart. The heart doesn't have the capacity to judge, to evaluate, to assess. That's exclusively the head's pride and glory. So as I'm listening to these profound considerations started by your questions and comments, I just want to keep remembering that when the heart guides me and is the source, then we are in a different space than when the head comes in. So I just wanted to share that, and I'm eager to hear some of the experiences people have had.
And I would like to share something too, and that is a question: to what extent do we as coaches become part of the client's map? Okay, so how do we fit into their map? And that would sort of influence how they are going to absorb anything we say, whether it's sharing an intuition or an observation or even telling them about affirmations, say. So that's something else to consider. I don't think that their map excludes the coach.
The coach or the person coaching?
I think it's that coaching relationship, that third entity in the relationship that has been created when, as Terry said, the heart brings two people together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what affects the territory, both the coach's map and the client's map. There's now new territory that has become the coaching relationship.
Alfonso?
Thank you, Catherine.
Can I ask or say something about... My question is, when we speak about active listening, the very deeply level of our active listening is just to listen ourselves and our feeling and our emotion. So if we are in contact even with us, listening to the other, but also listening the behavior, the non-verbal language, let's say, is there that we have to listen even our emotion, and in direct communication is say that we can share what we feel. So I think that if some intuition, as you call it, or some emotion are very strong in us, is our mission to speak about, to have the courage to share this. Obviously, with the maximum respect, with love, as I say, as Therese said, not with the mind, but with our heart or our soul. But this is what I have learned about active listening in the very deeply level.
Thank you. I have the impression that I'm getting some light about this from the fact that indeed, when we connect with the client at the uber level or at the emotional level, as Kathy says, we are becoming part of our client's map. That is something we cannot prevent, that our energy influences the coaching relationship, and so may influence the coaching, the client's map. So if that is naturally acceptable, why not accepting with the same naturality that my thoughts are influencing my client's thoughts? Good. Thank you. I have a lot of work to do. Still, I insist on the original definition. The map is a representation, a model of the territory. Okay. And when we reflect clients' words, we are respecting the way the client designs her own map and reflects her territory. When I share a comment or an opinion, I am necessarily using my own words, my map's words. And this may be, if I listen to myself, I may be aware that the words I use are influencing the client's map. My client doesn't have the dictionary for my words. And this may, either may provide what Edgar was saying at the beginning, a broader perspective. But how can I see that my opinion is going to be for the client's good, for the client's learning, for the client's movement, for the client's enlargement of perspective? I can't, in any coaching meeting, I can think of things that I think that I may think that they are useful for my client. But my coaching map and my duty as the coach prevents me from doing that, because above it, above my belief that my opinion or my comment may benefit my client, above that is my belief that the client has her own way to perceive, to think, and to arrive to results.
I
so even if we Even if we think those thoughts go into the combined space, which means even if the client thinks those thought energies are available to us, right? Which is what happens in Uber space. You have access to more than just what comes from you. You have access to what comes from the client. And even if we use the client's words, it's coming from our energy, our map. So at a very superficial level, it'll sound like you're using the client's words, but it's much bigger than that.
Okay. The thing is that when I use my words, I am providing content. While when I am influencing my client's map and the coaching relationship map or field with my emotions, with my energy, I am providing no mental content. And maybe this is a subtle difference. When I use my client words, of course I'm affecting my client's map. I am helping him to connect better with her territory. When I use my words, my own words, I am deliberately introducing content. And as far as I understand, the coaching job is a job that facilitates a context, that facilitates a scenario where the client can be inspired, can be creative, and can find new ways of looking at things without me providing any kind of content.
When you ask the question, though, are you still not in some way providing content? Because you've selected what question to ask, which generally comes from the heart or comes from intuition or comes from wherever. But that question that you ask, in the same way as telling some, not in the same way, but in a similar way as if you told someone, sometimes the question that we choose actually helps the client get that aha moment and provides direction. So it's a, I love this discussion. It's the most fascinating one I think I've been on these things, because there's this continuum that it's, I'm hearing there's this real continuum. And in my mind, I think that distinction between where that thought comes from is helps me figure out if it's the right kind to share. If it comes from here, then I don't want to share it. If it comes from here or my gut brain or my Uber brain, then maybe I should consider that. Now, in my mind, it's always better to ask a question rather than tell somebody something. But right? So but still, the questions we ask are telling in some ways.
The questions we ask need to be coterminous with the coaching map. So, right? To me, telling is outside of the coaching map. So when I have the urge to tell, which I admit to too, Alfonso, what I do internally is think, how can I make this an open question? Because then, like Terry said, if the thought is also with the person, it comes from them.
More powerful than questions are observations, such as, there's something different about the energy now.
Okay.
Or what has just changed? What has shifted? and in those cases, you're speaking about your experience. Yes, your map has picked it up. And you're asking for validation or explanation coming from the client. Oh, actually, what is different is a question. But making a statement, something is different now. Or mm-hmm. The energy has changed.
I don't know why. Still, I distinguish into myself between giving observations about, I have the feeling that the energy has changed, and providing a comment, which is related to the client and the client map. Because the shift of energy is something that occurs in the coaching relationship. And so it's not my client's map issue. Okay? And the intention, and maybe Scott is giving me another perspective. What is the intention behind my sharing? For me, it is different to share an observation that comes from a fact, an emotional fact, a visual fact, a cognitive fact, than sharing comments, which imply that I have already processed the information, instead of mirroring it, giving it back to the coaching relationship. Not to the client's model, but to the coaching relationship. I see FPCC markers also advise us or expect from us that we are listening to these changes in energy. However, they don't promote that we qualify or interpret the changes of energy. They just tell us to put it back.
Well,
we are at the top of the hour. This is such a fascinating,
oh my God,
fascinating conversation. And I just looked down and saw that it was 1 o'clock and people are dropping like flies. So I guess, Alfonso, whatever you need to do to wrap up, this conversation is amazing. And this may be something that we want to continue again.
Well, I just want to thank all of you